What's up, y'all? We are back with another edition of the DNVR Rams podcast. As always, I'm your host, Justin Michael. I'm going to get into five questions I have for CSU football going into the spring game on April 20th. Kind of set the scene for that. I'm going to give out the 2024 Green and Gold Awards, which are essentially NBA postseason awards, meet the Dundies from The Office. I created some fun awards based on historical CSU figures and moments and awarded them to student athletes from this year. For example, the Becky Hammon Award is the Women's Athlete of the Year. We'll get into all of that. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. Fun little thing we can do each year. Before we get into all of that, I did, though, just want to give a couple of more thoughts on CSU football and whether fans should be panicking or not. There was obviously some drama this weekend with the departure of Justice Ross Simmons. Sure seems like he's going to end up at Syracuse when it's all said and done. We'll see, though. I talked about what I have heard on yesterday's pod. I know that the stories have differed from the two sides. I'm not going to get into that or try and get in the drama or stir shit up or anything like that. I said my piece. I said what I have heard from people that I trust. If you happen to miss that pod, I recommend that you go listen to it at some point. But just in the intro here, I wanted to kind of further it and talk about it in a broader sense, and not really about Justice Ross Simmons specifically, but just should the Rams be, or should Ram fans be worried about the current trends? I mean, you lose Lewis Brown in the offseason, you lose Justice Ross Simmons, you lose Grady Kelly, all pretty significant losses. TJ Crandall would have been a starting cornerback as well. And I see a lot of reactions both ways. I see some people being like, this is just what college football is now. Whatever. I see other people saying the sky is falling. You know, it's probably like most things somewhere in between. The Rams don't have P5 money. So the reality is there are going to be guys that just elect to move on after proving themselves a little bit. And that sucks. I mean, bigger schools don't give these guys the time of day out of high school. We recruit them, we bring them in, coach them up, develop them, and then all of a sudden they're the hot girl that everybody wants to dance with, and you know, some guys just kind of forget where they came from. I will say that if you look at Trey McBride, Torrey Horton, BFN this past offseason, or if you want to go to the basketball side, David Roddy, Isaiah Stevens, McKenna Hofschild, CSU has been able to hang on to the tippy-top stars, you know, like the elite 1 or 2% of players on the roster. The hard part, though, is just that once guys like that move on, you're counting on the players like Justice Ross Simmons, Lewis Brown to kind of elevate their game and you know, be the next number one. And if you're constantly having to replace these type of guys that you're hoping are going to be your next stars, it's really hard to progress as a program. It's not to say that you can't still be good or competitive. There's no shortage of wide receiver talent out there. You can go get impact guys in the portal, like you know, Donovan Ollie is a great example of that. Dylan Gaffney, those guys can play. And there's going to be, you know, 1,000 of those every single year. But it does slow down your progression when you're constantly having to bring new people in, get them acclimated, train them up. I mean, think about it like a job, you know, if you're constantly having turnover and having to train new people, it's going to be pretty hard to sustain success. Does it mean that everything's going to fall apart, that the whole thing is screwed or anything like that? But I do think it's definitely fair to say that it's not conducive to building a program, to kind of trying to take that next step forward, you know, as a football team and really break through. You need these guys to stick around and kind of continue with their upward trajectory. I think the thing that frustrates me the most about this whole system is just how flawed it is. None of it is sustainable. It's hilarious to me that ESPN, Fox, the schools, they're still raking in all of their revenue. And instead of sharing the pieces of the pie, it's just super fans basically paying for these players to stick around. Like, we've leaned into what was always an element of college football. There was always some pay for play happening behind the scenes. We just leaned into the worst part of it, though. It's still as shady as ever. There's no regulation. There's so many false promises. There's tampering out the ass. It's just, it's a crappy system. And the truth is, a lot of the players get burned because there is no regulation here. And I don't want this to be misconstrued. I'm not saying that these players don't deserve compensation. My point is that it should be a revenue sharing model and not just this anarchy in the Wild Wild West format that we have right now. It's not good for the teams. It's not good for the fans. It's not good for most of the players even. Every week we see the articles about the amount of players entering the portal that don't end up finding homes. A lot of people don't recognize how many credits that these players are giving up. And, you know, especially with the multiple transfer situation now, guys are going to 2, 3, 4 schools, not getting a degree. If they don't make it in the NFL, they're leaving with none of the business connections or any of the, you know, assets that come from being an alumni and having, you know, access to that pool of people. Because you left, you have no identity to fall back on. You don't have your degree. It's just, it's so short-sighted. Anyways, I know I got a little sidetracked there, but basically, before I went on my whole rant about why the system is flawed, I do think it's something that you should be weary of. I think that this is a story. It's not nothing. But I also don't think this is a situation where you should be losing your mind. You know, like, yes, it stinks. He was going to be the second wide receiver on the team. He's a proven talent who's been pretty productive these first 2 years of his career, and you kind of assume that he was going to take that to the next level in year three. There's no shortage of receiver talent out there, though, especially in today's football with all the 7-on-7 camps and everything else. There's never been more receivers, quarterbacks. It's pretty crazy. All right, let's move on. Let's get into the 5 questions I have going into the spring game. Let's get into those 2024 Green and Gold Awards. Real quick, though, sometimes it feels like we got to be on all the time. It's important to hit the reset every now and then, whether that means going out with friends, catching a game, chilling around the fire pit. It's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. I had to spend about 5 hours on I-70 the other day, going out to the Western Slope for some family obligations. First thing I did, it was a gorgeous sunny day. I sat out on the back porch, cracked open an ice cold Coors Light. It just hits the spot, man. Cold lager, cold filtered, cold package. When it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer I reach for. When you want to hit the reset, grab the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/DNVR. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. I also want to talk to you guys about Game Time. It should not be a stressful process trying to buy tickets, and with Game Time, it doesn't have to be. They're now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. Save up to 60% buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, or theater. You can save even more with their exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the game or event. And what's cool is with the Zone deal, you pick the section and Game Time picks the seats. You're going to save an average of 18%. And their lowest price guarantee means if you can find seats in the same section, same row for less, then Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use that code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Again, create an account, use that code DNVR for $20 off. Download Game Time. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. All right, we've got the spring game coming up on April 20th. Feels crazy that it's already here. Kind of makes sense, though, just with how wild the basketball season was. And then, you know, everything's just been going really fast. I mean, this whole year has just been a whirlwind. But here's some questions I have going into the spring game, starting with, you know, what is the format? Is it going to be a true 1-versus-1? Are they going to do some situational stuff? Usually it's somewhere in the middle, like they have some one-on-one reps, but I imagine there's going to be some starters that are held out or at least significantly limited. There's just not that much to be gained by having guys like Torrey and Jack and Henry, you know, run significant reps, risk injury. You know, you never want anything like that to happen. By the way, thoughts and prayers for Nevada running back Sean Dollars. He's supposed to be their starting running back. Left their spring game in a stretcher, which you hate to see. So I'm hoping he has a very speedy recovery. Just wanted to throw that out there. All right, let's get into the questions. Number one, how does the passing offense look? They have a really strong backfield, and I do imagine, especially as they're trying to kind of figure out who the starting five is going to be, and I guess we can kind of work these into one question here. Who starts at offensive guard for, you know, the Rams? They've got some young guys that I think are really promising that could be really inside or outside, depending on how things go. You know, guys like Aaron Karras, Tanner Morley, you know, do they get into the mix? It's huge that you bring back Henderson and Drew Moss and Jacob Gardner, feel really good about those three. Whoever is out there, though, how do they hold up in pass protection? How much are they asked to do it? How much does CSU, you know, really throw the ball out there? And then, you know, what does the chemistry look like between guys like BFN and some of the young players like Caleb Goody or SMU transfer Dylan Goffney, who we've heard really good things about? Vincent Brown, you know, you're bringing in Jackson Warren at tight end. Is Vincent Brown able to make a strong impression in the spring game and at least kind of keep his hat in the ring there? Can a guy like Donovan Ollie make a big play? I mean, I think he's going to be such an important piece for this team this year, especially with no Lewis Brown, no Justice Ross Simmons. That's really the biggest question I have, though, is how does this passing offense as a whole look, and kind of who are the pieces making it happen? On the defensive side, I want to see how they hold up against the run. You know, the front seven, I've mentioned that. While I do like some of the young guys at linebacker, and I think they have bright futures, you know, Jaden Landrum, you've heard some good things about Drew Rodriguez. And I feel really good about Chase Wilson, who had a great season last year. It's tough to imagine the front seven being better than they were a year ago without Mo Camara, without Grady Kelly inside. You also lose Matt Thomas on the interior. Marshawn Oxley no longer on the team. I want to see how that front seven holds up. You know, are a veteran offensive line able to run the ball down their throats? Are they able, you know, is the D-line able to generate any pressure? I think you feel pretty good about guys like Noor Gatkuth at defensive end, Boom Jock at linebacker, but this is a big test for them. And keeping things on the defensive side here, how does the secondary hold up? You're going to have Ricky Johnson, the UNLV transfer corner on campus. Really hope CSU is able to land him. I think probably would be a starter day one if you're able to bring him in. But I'm interested to see how Elias Larry, Isaiah Assisima, how those transfers are able to hold up. Dom Jones, you know, what does he look like out there? He had some moments last year where he really popped. Can Aiden Hector get back to closer to what we saw in 2022 than 2023? And I know he battled some injuries, but I mean, he really struggled at times last year, but he's a guy with great athleticism, with great talent. Can he take a step up? Does a young buck like Dylan Phelps play his way onto the field? I've heard really good things about him throughout the spring. It's an interesting situation with the secondary because you've got a wide mix of like fourth and even fifth year players between your corners and safeties and nickels. But it feels like they're either a fourth or fifth year player or they're a first year player. There's not a ton in between. Off of that, I want to know which freshman or redshirt freshman stands out the most. You've heard good things about Dylan Phelps at corner, Caleb Goody at receiver, Boom Jock. You know, can any of these guys really break through this year? I've made it clear that you kind of have to take spring ball results as a whole with a grain of salt, especially spring game results, but it is, you know, kind of that first opportunity to set the tone going into summer, and it's going to be an important game for a lot of these young players. All right, let's move on. Let's get into those 2024 Green and Gold Awards. I do real quick, though, want to talk to you guys about Toyota. Trucks have always been a part of Toyota's DNA. For generations, Toyota has built durable legends destined for greatness and perfect for Colorado. Whether you're conquering off-road trails or hauling the weight of the world, there's a Toyota truck that's right for you, like the all-new 2024 Tacoma. Toyota offers 17 models with all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive, like the Epic 4Runner. They also offer more low and zero emission vehicles combined than any other automaker to give customers numerous choices to reduce their carbon footprint. There are 16 different hybrid vehicles to choose from, like the Tundra iForce Max hybrid truck. Not to be outdone though, Toyota's SUVs take command on the road and on the trail, so you can explore the road less traveled without sacrificing smooth city rides in SUVs like the RAV4 and Grand Highlander. Toyota is a proud partner of CSU Athletics, and the official vehicle of DNVR. If you are not in the Circle K Inner Circle, you are missing out. It is a free membership. All you have to do is sign up with your email and phone number. After that, you enter your phone number in, you are good. You're going to save 25 cents a gallon your first five fill-ups. You'll get five Polar Pops for free. And after that, you're going to start earning rewards, which is great. Get a free any size Polar Pop from Colorado Circle K's by texting DNVR to 31310. That's DNVR to the number 31310. Message and data rates may apply. Periodic recurring messages per month. Terms and conditions can be viewed at CircleK.com. Visit CircleK.com/innercircle for more information. All right, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, the 2024 Green and Gold Awards, a prestigious honor made up by yours truly to recognize some of CSU's finest athletes and celebrate some of the best moments of the year. Starting things off, we have the Becky Hammon Award, which goes to the Women's Athlete of the Year. This one was tough. There was a lot of competition. I think we got to go with Maya Lessner. She won a national championship. She is as good at her craft as anybody, respectively, at what they do in any field. She truly is remarkable. She's created her own legacy and has established a really historic career that has, you know, nothing to do with her dad. And that's a tough spot, you know, when you have that last name and there's all this pressure put on you. I just have so much respect for her. It's been an incredible year, and that's why she is our Becky Hammon Award recipient. Flipping things over to the men's side, we have the Jack Christensen Award that goes to the Male Athlete of the Year. To me, it's a no-brainer. I went with Isaiah Stevens, came back for his fifth season, really cemented his legacy as the greatest player in program history, basically owns every record that there is to own, led CSU to its first NCAA tournament win in a decade, was first-team all-conference once again. When you factor in his legacy as a whole, when you factor in the successful season that he had individually, I think it's, like I said, a no-brainer. He is the man of the year. Keeping things moving here, we have the BVP Award, which goes to the athlete that displays the most heart, plays with the most passion. You could have given this to so many people. I went with Henry Blackburn. That dude plays with his heart on his sleeve. I think he would die out there on the field for his teammates. He's a missile coming downfield. He had great plays and coverage. Obviously, last year, with all the distractions he had to deal with after the CU nonsense, to have the year that he had, to be the leader for this team that he is, it speaks volumes. And I think, you know, the fact that he came back for a fifth year shows just how much CSU truly means to him. If I had to pick just one individual that I think encompasses the spirit of Bradley Van Pelt and the swagger and the intensity, the confidence, it's Blackburn. I love the guy. Keeping it moving, we've got the Sonny Lubick Award that goes to the Coach of the Year. I went with Nico Medved for earning the first NCAA tournament win in over a decade for what they accomplished in the non-conference slate. I do think you can't go wrong. I think there are actually quite a few good choices. Keely Hagan on the soccer side has really elevated the program in a major way. All Brian Bedard on the track side does is win. He's probably the best throwing coach in the entire country. But I went with Nico Medved just because of the success that they had and some of the historical moments. The Head Spike Award, which is the Play of the Year, it has to be the Holy Hoker, right? The Holy Hulker, excuse me. Kind of hard to pronounce. The Hail Mary to beat Boise State. First successful Hail Mary I've ever seen in person. I will never forget that as long as I live. It felt like the demons of the last 10, 11 years in that game were somewhat exercised. I loved every moment about it. The game was incredible. Afterwards, being in the locker room was such a unique experience and seeing the joy on those guys' faces. It was just such a fun moment. And I think clearly that had to be, you know, the moment of the year. Our next award is the Moby Magic Award, which goes to the best moment to occur in Moby Arena. Could be the men's side, could be the women's side, could be volleyball. I went with the men's basketball win over CU. Huge moment. CU, you know, coming in after all the drama, the football season for the Rams to get that moment in Fort Collins was a ton of fun. Neat Clifford obviously gets the big jam, the kind of revenge moment on the team that, you know, basically gave up on him. I know he gets along with a lot of those guys there, so I'm not trying to stir anything up, but I mean, it was just such a fun night. I'll remember that one. The Ram Ruckus Award, which goes to the student favorite of the year, it's Headband Joe. I'm not sure there's ever been a student athlete, at least in my now 9 years covering CSU athletics, that was genuinely more just beloved for their vibes. Like, that's really all it was about. He just had the best vibes out there, smiling ear to ear, playing his ass off. And he can play. I mean, he had some big moments in that CU game. The San Jose State performance in Vegas was huge, but he wins the Ram Ruckus Award for the student favorite. The Trey McBride Award, which goes to the MVP of the football team. I ended up going with co-winners in Mo Camara and Torrey Horton. I genuinely could not decide between the two. I know it's a cop-out, but I couldn't pick between the two. They were equally as impressive, equally as dominant. Each are going to be incredible pros, but they're splitting the award this year, and they're happy to do so because they are good dudes. Finally, last but not least, these ones are pretty easy. They are named after themselves. Isaiah Stevens and McKenna Hofschild are the winners of the Isaiah Stevens Award and McKenna Hofschild Award, which goes to the men's basketball MVP and the women's basketball MVP. I felt like these two needed to have their own awards. McKenna especially, like, you know, I know Becky is the greatest player in program history, but I think she's the greatest women's athlete in CSU history, period. So I just thought this was a fun way to kind of separate the two, make sure that they both live on, at least, you know, in these just little silly awards that I'm doing. That's all I've got. That's all I've got for this one. I appreciate y'all for being locked into the content. We'll have more written content coming your way, more recruiting stuff for football and basketball over the next week. And of course, we'll go crazy with spring game coverage. I'm looking forward to it. Always proud to be. Much love, y'all. Peace.
Peaches out of Palisades, sweet as mama's marmalade. This shit sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. My mama slapped that bass, my sister sang these songs. Dancing under canopies, we thank the trees for all their leaves. We are just some drops of water, together make up seven seas. And one day I'll be like my father, one day I will learn to breathe. I'm choking on the thought that I am not the man I wanna be. I got blood on my shirt, like I wear my heart on my sleeve. She said I look good in red, but that went straight to my head. So now she's rocking my tees, tucked into new Prada jeans. And we ain't spoke in a month, but I just saw her last week. The lipstick stain still on my cheek, like we ain't talk enough. And we always seem to laugh, but never nod at us. So the future's looking grim, it's kinda ominous. And this song ain't about love, that'd be too obvious. See, this is more about lust and all of my misconceptions. And this is more about me and all of my self-deception. I'll tell myself a lie 100 times, don't need corrections. But every night I pray to God, I hope I learn my lesson. And the peaches out from Palisade, and they sweet as mama's marmalade. And this should sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. And my mama slapped that bass, and my sister sang these songs. Dancing hand in hand, we were tripping to left feet. Like a middle school slow dance, no one knew how to lead. But I'm still thankful for these days.